Well, good morning, everybody. Today is July the 8th, 2022, and thanks for joining in. Thanks for listening in. I appreciate my listeners. Gaining new listeners all the time, and I appreciate that. It means a lot to me. And it's a Friday morning, and just a little bit after 8:25 this morning. And coming to you from North Florida, this is very warm and humid today. And looks like we're going to have another scorcher of a day. It got pretty hot yesterday. I got out in the yard and worked a little bit. Got my yard cleaned up and mowed and got some things done, which is good because I needed to do that. Haul some stuff off to the dump. And so life is good. Life is good. Got a lot coming up this week. After today, I'll be out of the office for about a week. I'll probably be doing some podcasts from down in the beautiful, beautiful city of Fort Myers, Florida, almost down to the bottom of the state. I'm doing some podcasts down there, and I'm looking forward to that. But this morning, I was just thinking on my way to work. I ran into an old friend online the other day. I haven't spoken to this person, and gosh, I haven't even seen this person, let alone spoken to him, in 30 years, and I didn't really know this person, but I knew this person's brother, and so we got to talking, and it just kind of brought up some old memories of when I was a kid and some of the crazy things that we did. It was a group of kids I used to hang out with as teenagers. We were driving, so we were at least 16 years of age, but sometimes I wonder, why in the world do kids do the things that they do? You know, why do we put ourselves at so much risk when we're young like that? You know, it's a wonder we make it out of our childhood, to be honest with you, you know, because of all the crazy stuff that we do, you know. And so I was thinking about that yesterday and today and this morning. I thought, you know, I'd share some stories of when I was a kid and some of the crazy stuff that we used to do and some of the crazy things that other people used to do, other friends of mine. I was a little tame, I guess, compared to my friend Joey. Joey was about as crazy as a sprayed roach. And in the South, we say that because somebody's really, really crazy if you say that. Joey was crazy. He was a really nice kid, but he was just crazy, literally. And Joey had an old, gosh, I don't even know what it was now, maybe a Plymouth or I'm not sure, maybe the Ford or Dodge or something. It was one of them old cars. It was probably a 1970, early 1970s older car. And of course, he had it painted this real emerald kind of flecky, reflective kind of green color. And it was kind of a pretty car. I want to say it was a two-door, but it, you know, had a front and back seat. But anyway, Joey had the windows tinted. And somehow or another had rigged up a speaker. Back in the day, a speaker. They weren't like today with Bluetooth. You had to wire it in and, you know. Anyway, Joey had fixed it to his CB radio. Now, for some of you younger folks out there, maybe you don't know what a CB radio, but it's called a Citizens Band radio. It's about what the police have at theirs, but this is a different frequency. It was, I think, a UHF. I worked off the UHF frequency, and you could only talk as far as your antenna could transmit, and usually that was about, you might get 5 miles out of it, maybe. Of course, cell phones changed all that, but back in the day, we had those and we'd talk to each other, and that was our way of communicating. I never had one. They were too expensive. Back then, they were about $50. And when you make $3.35 an hour, it's kind of hard to save up for a $50 CB radio. So, Joey had a CB radio in his car. And, he could make sounds with his mouth that sounded just like a siren from a police car. And he was crazy enough that one day he was coming back from Jacksonville, Florida, heading to McClenny, where he little small town, not much to mention, but he was on Interstate 10 flying, doing probably 90 miles an hour. And he got on that crazy speaker and started making a siren sound and was flying down the road. And I mean, just in and out of traffic, weaving in and out and going around cars and passing them in the emergency lane. And I was just, it was crazy. And if people wouldn't get out of his way, he'd get on the microphone, he'd say, "Move out of the way, move out of the way, police." And looking back on that now, it's like we sort of, or I sort of look at it and I think, my God in the heavens, how in the world did we ever not get arrested, not get shot, and at least, you know, not get in some kind of trouble for the crazy stuff that we did. But Joey had done that enough that he was just kind of used to it, and he got where he was very comfortable doing it, and was coming back one day. Now, I was with him that time, but I'd heard, I think he told me this, but anyway, he was doing it on the interstate again, doing the same thing, getting people to get out of his way. And of course, people did get out of his way because, you know, they thought he was an undercover police car. And so they'd move out of the way. This is back in the day. Now, you got to understand, this is probably back in the, oh gosh, probably early 80s, like 1980, 1981, somewhere like that. And so things weren't like they were today. We weren't as informed back then as everybody is today. We got the news at 6 o'clock in the evening. That was about it. We didn't have all round-the-clock news unless, you know, the president got shot. So, anyway, he was doing this on Interstate 10, flying. I mean flying. And he's going down the road. Well, he passes a Department of Corrections van full of inmates, and it scared them so bad, they got on the radio, radioed back to their headquarters, told them there was some police officer on the road, but they're not quite sure because he didn't look like a cop. And so they called ahead, and then they got somebody else. They got the highway patrol out there. And lo and behold, they had set up a roadblock, assuming Joey was coming a certain way. Well, he outsmarted them somehow, and I guess his angels were riding on his shoulders that day because he'd have sure gone to jail for sure. But he somehow got away with it, and he was very careful that he didn't do that again. At least he learned from his mistake. But one time I was with Joey again. It was me and Joey and Chuck and Steve. And that we were kind of the four amigos. And I remember I had a 45 metal BB gun that shot BBs. I didn't have any BBs. I wasn't shooting anybody. But we had a gun. Now, this is how stupid we were. And Chuck or Joey, one of them, maybe Steve, I don't know, they had some firecrackers. And we were over in Jacksonville, Florida, in a predominantly minority neighborhood. And just for shits and giggles, which was a bad idea, we thought that it would be fun to hang that gun out the window while Joey or Steve or Chuck slung a firecracker out the other side of the window. Now, that tells you how stupid we were. That tells you how long ago we were, because today you'd have done that, you'd have gotten shot. And so we thought that that was a good idea. Now, why we thought that was a good idea is beyond my understanding. I cannot imagine. I don't even think I did it. I think I was in the back seat watching them do it. I want to say it was Joey. And I kept telling him, don't do that, don't do that. We're going to get in trouble, we're going to get in trouble. And Joey hung that gun out the window. And I want to say Steve or Chuck slung a firecracker out the other side. And boom, it made a loud noise. And Joey had that gun up in the air like he was a gangster. And I mean, people scattered, they ran. And we laughed and thought that was the funniest thing. And of course, next thing we know, within about, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, cops are everywhere. Now, you're talking about JSO, Jacksonville Sheriff's Office. Back in the day, JSO didn't play. They didn't play the radio. They didn't play. They were serious. And if you got stopped or you got pulled over by JSO or, God forbid, you got arrested, you were probably more than likely going to get your ass beat. That's just the way JSO was. They were some mean policemen. And I'm white, and I was afraid of them. And I think everybody was afraid of them back then. It didn't matter what color you were. And so police were everywhere, and so we started heading back home to McClinney. And I just knew we were all going to prison. And we were driving around, and all of a sudden we look up, and there's a helicopter. Probably, 100 feet up in the air, flying around in a circle. And boy, let me just tell you, we got on the gas and got back to McClinney, and we never did that stupid thing again. But we found other stupid things to do. Like in McClinney, there was a housing project. I believe it was Section 8 project. We just called it the projects. It probably wasn't the most political thing to say or the best political thing to say, but we did call it the projects. And we thought that it would be fun, and I want to say this was my idea, which just goes to show you I'm just as stupid as Joey was. But Steve had an old Plymouth, I forget the name of it, but it was an old, I think it was about a 1970 or 71 Plymouth. It was huge. The bumper itself probably weighed more than most cars today. And it was just a big old car. You know, you could put four or five people in the back seat, you know, and three, four people up front easily, you know. And it was just a big car. And so I said, you know, why don't we go up in there? I'll pretend like I'm just walking along, like nothing's going on. I'm just walking through the projects. And you come up behind me and speed up real quick, but slow down just before you get to me, and I'll jump up on the hood of the car and roll off. And then y'all get out and freak out, you know, like maybe, you know, we just killed somebody. And then both of y'all throw me in the trunk and speed off. And I thought that would be fun. Okay? Again, we do stupid things as children. This is what my grandma used to say. Idle hands are the devil's work. She wasn't kidding. We had too much idle time on our lives for us to be doing stupid stuff like that. But at any rate, here we go. Boogity, boogity, boogity. I'm walking through this neighborhood, and I'm waiting for Steve. And, of course, I'm the only white boy within, you know, a block or two of this place, because most of the people that lived there were minorities. And good people, just poor people, that's all. And, you know, some of them would wave at me, and I'd wave back at them. A lot of them were on their porch, you know. And most of them, I'd say, were on their porch. It was probably the summer, hot down here in Florida. And I'm just bebopping along, walking along, dee-da-doo-da-doo. All of a sudden, I hear this, the engine revs up behind me. And it was a good distance behind me, but I didn't want to give it away that I was the bait. So I kind of didn't look back, and I heard Steve gas it up really fast, and like he was going to go faster than he should have gone. And he was supposed to slow down right before he gets to me and allow me time to kind of hop up on the hood. I would kind of peer back and look and see if Steve was there, and then I would just, you know, jump up on the hood and then roll off like I'd been hurt or killed or something. And so here he comes, flying up behind me, engine revving, and he didn't slow down. And so, because he didn't slow down, he actually hit me with the car. And I went flying up on the hood like, you know, anybody would who just got hit by a car. And, I mean, it was like something from a TV show. I rolled on the top of that hood, rolled off the side of that hood, fell down on the passenger side of the car. And I'm on the ground. I can't breathe. I'm having trouble breathing. I feel like I've broken a rib or I've punctured a lung. And I'm laying on the ground, and I hear Steve get out. And he said, "Oh, no. Oh, my God, we've hit somebody." And I think Joey was with him, and Joey jumps out, and he said, "Oh, my God, what are we going to do? We can't go to jail." And then as they're putting me in the trunk, I hear this black lady sitting on the front porch, and she said, "Oh, my God, they done killed a white boy." And they grab my arms and my feet, and I'm hurting so bad I can't hardly stand it, and I can't breathe, and I can't tell him that he really hurt me. And Steve is laughing so hard that he can barely pick me up, and they drop me several times. Well, they abandon the idea of the trunk and throw me in the back seat. Well, off they go, boogity, 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 driving like some wild man out of there, leaving skid marks and screeching tires and everything. And next thing you know, we're all down the road laughing and giggling about it, and I'm holding my ribs because it hurts so bad. And I told Steve, I said, "What in the world were you doing? You're supposed to slow down before you got to me." He said, "I did slow down." He said, "You're supposed to jump up on the hood." I said, "Well, if you'd have slowed down long enough for me to jump up on the hood, I would have." I said, "I think you broke a rib or something." He said, "Oh, you'll be all right." So we decide, I don't know why, once again, here's three idiots in a car, we decide to go back to see the scene of where we thought, you know, we were going to pretend to run me over, hit me and run. And we get back over there, and I mean, it was a small town. Wasn't very many policemen at all or deputy sheriffs. And I'm telling you, they must have called the sheriff and everybody else over there, because there was more police cars you could shake a stick to. And we come just kind of slowly by, and we looked, and I said, "Steve, go home, go home, go home. We're going to go to jail." And we left and went home, and I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was in the paper or not, but scared us half to death, but not enough that we wouldn't do other stupid things. I mean, we did some other crazy, stupid things, and I wonder how in the world did we ever make it through childhood. Now, Joey was always a little off. Joey wasn't right, you know. And Joey actually ended up killing himself one day. And I think I was in basic training, come home from basic training in the Army, and found out about it. And it was pretty sad. And he had gotten involved with some girl, and she broke up with him, and he just couldn't handle it. And he didn't have very good coping skills, I guess, and so he just blew his brains out. Anyway, but we had some really fun times, me and Joey and Chuck and Steve. But we did some crazy things as kids. I mean, really, really crazy stuff. I don't know how in the world we got away with it and not got in trouble. Now, today we wouldn't be able to do that. You know, everybody's got a cell phone. We'd have been caught in a minute, you know. But back then, you know, growing up as a kid in the 70s and a teenager in the 80s, we were bored, didn't have a whole lot to do in this little one-horse town we grew up in. And, you know, we found something to do. You know, there wasn't a whole lot around here to do, and a lot of people went to the river swimming. We didn't really like to go in the river because it was dark and there were alligators and snakes, and we didn't really want to put our lives in danger, and we figured we'd have fun on a car. But anyway, we did a lot of crazy, crazy stuff growing up, and there were more stories too, but I won't bore you with them. But I'm sure you've had some crazy things that you've done as a kid too. And you know, when we're young, we think there's a big S on our chest, and we kind of think that maybe anything and everything we do is safe, and it's just not. Of course, I don't know if people even feel that way anymore. Kids might be different today than they were then. Might be more concerned about, you know, playing games and stuff. But anyway, that was one of my childhood memories. Now, there is one more I'll share with you, and then I'll be done. There was a fella named Mackie McDuffie. He was crazy, crazy, crazy. Mackie was crazy. That's back in the early 70s, back when the hippies were around here in the United States, and we had a big hippie movement. You probably remember all that. You know, that's about the time I think the all the folk music was coming out, and Woodstock and all that. Well, anyway, Mackie McDuffie was friends with my Uncle Jimmy, and my Uncle Jimmy told me this story, and he said one day Mackie had come from a pretty good family that had money, I think, and they had bought him a Stingray Corvette. And if you know anything about Stingray Corvettes, this was a 1970 model, and it had two-seater and a little bubble top on it, and it would fly. And I mean, it would fly. And Mackie and my Uncle Jimmy were riding down I-10 in a little town they grew up in here in North Florida, and said there was this hitchhiker on the side of the road, long hair and beard, you know, a hippie. And Mackie pulled over and asked the boy if he wanted to ride, you know, because that's back people would thumb a ride where they were going, you know, just get a ride with somebody on the interstate. Didn't know who they were, just get a ride with them, ride down the road. Well, this guy said, yeah, but where am I going to fit? And Mackie said, well, I tell you what, he said, I've got a premium luggage rack on the back of this Corvette of mine. Why don't you hang on the back of there? He said, I won't go fast, but you won't have to walk in this heat. And that old hippie, as dumb as he was, grabbed his knapsack, put it on his back, and crawled on the back of that little Corvette and held on to that stainless steel luggage rack. And Mackie McDuffie put that thing in low gear and took off, swerving back and forth like a fish on Interstate 10, and got up to over 120 miles an hour. Now, this poor hippie is on the back, beaten on the back of the window. Let me off, let me off, he said, let me off. And Mackie was laughing the whole time and thought it was the funniest thing, flying down the interstate with this little hippie on the back of his car. Well, he wouldn't turn loose. He had a hold of that luggage rack like his life depended on it, and he hung on there. And I'm not really sure how long he took that fella for a ride, but I've often wondered if maybe he gave up hitchhiking after that, or at least didn't ride on the back of a luggage rack. Thank y'all for listening. Y'all, I appreciate you tuning in. Y'all have a great weekend, and that's all I'm going to say today.